Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again, time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, joined in studio today by my trusty executive director, John Snader, and our producer, dazzling dandy Daryl Brandy. We're also joined in studio today by a gentleman who is came out of the left field here and ran a write-in campaign to run for state representative in the 45th Pennsylvania Legislative District. His name is James Julius. James is going to be joining us in a few minutes, but I'll tell you what, I'm really excited to talk to you folks today as we look on the brink of summer here. You know, traditionally, it used to be a time when we didn't have to pay a lot of attention to politics. We were able to relax, take it easy, go swimming, picnics, talk about vacation, things of that nature. But with the advent of Act 77, which was passed back in 2019, mail-in voting up to 50 days before an election, now we can no longer afford to wait until Labor Day to start paying attention to politics. Now the campaign for November, they're starting now. And the candidates are out and about. They're knocking on doors. They're attending fundraisers and different events. And so that's why we're excited to give you an opportunity, our listeners, to learn a little bit more about James, why he's running, you know, the area that he's running in, and why he thinks he's a better choice for the voters in the 45th district than the current incumbent Democrat. So, James, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Thanks a lot.
Well, hey, well, happy to have you here. Now, when I look at your resume, I mean, pretty impressive here, okay? You have an MBA from CMU, Tepper School of Business. You know, it says you specialized in quantitative analytics, finance, and strategy, both MS and BS degrees from Robert Morris University. You know, it talks about in your long academic journey that you believe it equipped you with a deep understanding of critical thinking, problem solving, and strategic planning skills, which you believe are essential for effective governance and leadership. How do you feel those skills will come in handy if you were to be elected in November to the state house here in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I've spent years growing my own business from the bottom up. Nobody invested in the organization, right? And what we had to do was we had to learn how to be lean, how to be thoughtful in our leadership, how to be pragmatic in our choices. And these things had taught me firsthand about how to be able to drive value. You can't just go out there and say you're going to do something. You have to actually be capable and be equipped to do it. And so we've had to learn and develop some great capabilities. We do work for the Department of Defense, other agencies inside of the federal government. And we're going to be bringing forward that expertise that I've learned and did there, but doing that at the state legislative level.
That sounds great. Now, hey, you know, I launched right into this. I started talking a little bit about your academic background.
Yep.
And asked you how would some of those skills that you talked about you're possessing, you know, apply. But hey, we haven't even told our listeners. Could you share for our listeners what the 45th Legislative District encompasses?
Yeah, of course. So we're west of the city of Pittsburgh. What we have from the sort of northern part from the Ohio River down, we got McKees Rock, Stowe Township, that rolls into Kennedy. You're getting into Robinson and Collier, Pennsbury. You have a little bit of Bridgeville in there. And I don't think I left anybody out, although I may have. I'm just sort of doing this in my head right now. But what we're talking about is a diversity of communities that you have everything from low income to the wealthiest, every single way that you could possibly slice up the demographics, whether that be age, sex, education, money, what have you. We have an incredibly diverse group of 66,000 constituents here in Allegheny County.
That's interesting. So, James, when you were talking about the demographics in the 45th there, and you're talking about how it encompasses folks from relatively poorer districts, mm-hmm. but all the way up to some of the wealthier, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you're traversing the district mm-hmm. and you're talking to these people and you're knocking on doors, mm-hmm. what are you finding out? What are the things or issues that they have in common mm-hmm. that you can be able to run on that you believe that you would be able to help change should you be elected and sent to Harrisburg?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I'm hearing from folks is a lot of folks just don't even know what their state representative does. And what they can tell is they feel like their state representative is nice, that she takes a lot of photos, that, you know, and so they're under the impression that somehow the ability to be nice and in person reflects the ability to pass good legislation. And as I'm asking with folks and talking to folks, I'm, you know, breaking bread, building trust with these people. I'm very quickly realizing that their best interests aren't really being well represented in Harrisburg. As an example, you know, whenever I'm talking to people and I'm understanding what their community values are, and I'm realizing despite the diversity that exists in this district, there is a strong sense of conservative values across both sides of the aisle. And whenever I'm letting them know about the way that the posture of the in the voting record of the incumbent, they've been shocked, right? And so what I've found out is that just educating people, letting them know that they have somebody who's going to be there and listen to them, and not going to simply go and vote exactly on the party line, to actually go and be a true representative of the district. It's building a lot of trust with people, and that's one of the things I've found that is really resonating with folks.
Well, that's great. So, you know, that's a particular issue. You're talking about going to Harrisburg. What are the three major issues that you would like to focus on or work on that you think would be important to the people of the 45th District?
Yeah, so I could probably put those into three buckets for you. One is going to be in community. I mean, you can encapsulate that into family values and communities. The next is in commerce, and the final is in competition. So when you talk about, let's go top down, right? Family values and community. So on the family value side of things, there has been this slow erosion where family values and the traditional nuclear family, the honor of that has gone down over time. And that's not to take anything away from the incredible people who are called to be single parents, but the idea of the importance of having fathers in the home and the impacts that it has when those fathers are not in the home, the downstream impacts of what we're seeing in many of these communities today are resulting of the community bonds, community values breaking down. Next being of the community values in whole. A part of this ends up coming in the form of emergency services. So as I'm speaking with people in the fire and EMS community, realizing that there is a lot of opportunity for improvement, a lot of opportunity for change. What we're seeing is, in some cases, redundancies, and we have an excess of equipment and apparatuses. In other cases, we have a deficiency, and it's because of the way that these systems are set up. One of the things that we can be able to look to as examples would be what they've done in the county of Baltimore and Maryland, so the Prince George's County, of the way to be able to centralize and modernize the emergency services infrastructure there. So we'll be looking to introduce legislation, in particular in Allegheny County, that could help drive improvement and change in there. So that's family and community values. Mm-hmm. As we move forward to commerce, blue-collar jobs have really taken a hit. They're in favor of STEM jobs and everything else, and to the point that even President Biden is saying that the only ticket to the middle class is by going to college, which is a complete lie. The ability, what we want to focus on is to build up the apprenticeship programs, to build up blue-collar jobs, reestablish the honor that comes with working there. That's one. Two is when we look at the energy and building a robust energy policy here in the Commonwealth, this doesn't come in the form of picking renewables versus natural gas. It's building a well-rounded, a balanced portfolio that we can utilize our great resources we have available, but also making significant investments also in fuel like nuclear. It's incredibly powerful, incredibly efficient, but nobody's really looking at that as a means to push it forward seriously at a legislative level. So I'd be a champion of that. Worth mentioning my background in artificial intelligence, and we are about to enter the AI economy and making folks aware as to how to avoid potential issues. You know, so Reagan famously quipped in 1986 that if it moves, tax it; if it keeps moving, regulate it; and if it stops moving, subsidize it. Right, and so what we want to do is understand, and I've participated in requests from President Biden as to what we should be doing in light of artificial intelligence. And my point of view is not to regulate it. My point of view is to create incentive structures to be able to utilize it, but also being aware of the true impact that it's going to cause. And so finally, as we move into competition. Competition in this case comes mainly in the form of education. Now, I'm a proponent of school choice, but not in the traditional ways I think that it's been brought forward. If you look at the free market society and you understand what free markets and the benefits that it has on products and consumers and people, you end up seeing that the product is improved. You see the consumer experience is improved. It's better for the consumer. It's better for the market. And we need to be able to bring a mentality like that, but to education. Pennsylvania has opportunity to be doing much better in the educational sphere, and especially in public education. But if you are a parent, parents should have choices as to where they want to direct their hard-paying money in taxes, and where school choice fits into this platform as well.
Okay, so those sound like three things that the folks there should be interested in.
Yes.
And can affect their lives. Okay. Mm-hmm. For folks who are listening to this, we're talking to James Jolias, candidate for the 45th State Legislative District here, which encompasses Robinson Township, McKees Rocks, Kennedy, and you were naming a few others, like Coriopolis.
Yep, that was one that I missed. Hey, yes, thanks for holding me accountable.
Yes. So, yeah, that's a great point, James. Let's talk about the primary here. Now, you ran as a write-in candidate in the primary. In order for a candidate to get on the ballot, you need to get at least as many votes as petition signatures are required during the petition period. And that for a state representative is 300.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
But yet you turned around and you were able to get 899 votes.
Yep.
Almost basically 900 votes. So that's a great job, you know, in a write-in campaign. What did you do to try to take and let folks know that you were interested in running for this seat and to get these folks to take and write you in as their nominee for this November's election?
Yeah, I'd say there's two key drivers. First is, you know, knocking on doors and connecting with people. Of the two precincts that I performed the best in, these were two that I had knocked nearly every door in those precincts. So the Saturday prior to the primary, I knocked on 100 doors in Collier Precinct 1. That was the number two performing precinct that I had. If I look at the other cases, you know, the Robinson Township Republican Committee, it was very supportive of the campaign. They helped me make sure that we had people staffed at every single one of the polling places. We had literature that we were handing out to folks. And those were the two key things, you know, knocking on doors and having people who are really, really emphatic, you know, handing out literature mm-hmm. at the polling locations.
No, and that's good because this was a very low turnout primary election, particularly on the Republican side, because there weren't any really, you know,
just
major
AG.
Primary races,
yeah.
you know. So for you to be able to get almost basically 900 votes there, I mean, that's a testament to show the depth of support that you have already,
yep.
you know, in the community as you look to build on that for moving to November. Now, for anybody that's listening to this and say, hey, I liked what this guy was saying here. You know, it sounds like he's on the ball and could, you know, could really be a step up for us in Harrisburg. You know, how would they, if someone wanted to help your campaign, if they wanted to sign up to volunteer or to donate money, how would they go about doing so?
Yeah, so the best place for them to go is to my website, which is juliusforstaterep.com. There is places there they can be able to sign up just to find out more about the campaign, which will have events and so on. If they want to be able to volunteer, they want to be able to get engaged, or if they just want to be able to contribute financially, all that information is right there on the front page.
Now, that Julius for State Rep, do you want to take and spell that?
Sure. So Julius is J-U-L-I-U-S, so Julius, like Julius Caesar, for F-O-R, staterep.com.
Okay. And I asked that. It may seem like simple, but some folks for four, they'll put the number four.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And you know, I'm like, my name's DeMarco, right? It's D-E-M-A-R-C-O. Some folks will spell with a D-I.
That's right.
Okay. And you'd be amazed at the folks I've seen put a K in there, you know? So, yeah, we want folks to be able to reach you there. So that's the website. Now you have a Facebook page too?
I do. I'm very active on social media. Folks can be able to search my name. Difference between my personal page and the campaign page, you'll see that is candidate for PA House District 45. It's very clearly up there. Also, just by going to my website, it maintains a feed of my social media there. They can jump there and get back to the Facebook page as well.
Okay, that's great. Now, do you have any events that are coming up soon here that folks should know about?
Yeah, so we're putting together the campaign calendar, so nothing I'm able to announce at this time. My biggest thing is I'm trying to be present in the community, everywhere where people are. Like, I want to be able to meet people. My goal is to shake every single person's hand before November 5th, whether that be knocking on doors, attending community events. And one of the things we'll be doing is we'll be starting to hold community town halls. Now, this will happen organically. There are certain communities that are ahead of others. I've been mm-hmm. spending a lot of time in McKees Rocks and down in Stowe. And so we're likely to see a town hall event happening there soon. So sort of just stay tuned. It'll be announced on Facebook and as well as my website as to when those come up.
And also, you know, when you want to let let our executive director, John, know about these events with a flyer or something like that, we can put them in our newsletter, which goes out to about approximately 10,000 people. If you're listening to this show and you don't get our newsletter, please go to our website at Allegheny, A-L-L-E-G-H-E-N-Y. That's Allegheny.gop. Allegheny.gop. And it says, join us. You put your email address in there. We'll send a link out to you to confirm that it was you. And you'll start to get our weekly newsletter in which we list all the events taking place here in Allegheny County and keep you abreast of all the news regarding the Republican Party here locally, as well as either statewide or nationally. So that's great. Okay, James. And we talked a little bit earlier. I asked, you know, why you're running, you know what I mean? So what did you see missing that caused you to say, you know what? I need to do something about this.
Sure. So I guess it's just to back up a little bit. Politics was probably my first love. You know, at 16, I was appointed as a junior council person in Brentwood Borough. So I was maybe one of the youngest folks that were actually appointed by the borough staff. We got to get a skate park that was built, had to file for grants and all that other kind of stuff. And it was fun. You know, we went to school with a lot of skaters, and so we had something, you know, for the community. And poli-sci was my first major going to school, but fell in love with technology. And, you know, my career sort of went in that direction for a while. I've been living in Robinson Township now for going on 15 years. And as I've looked, and I've been growing my family, by the way, too, right? I have four kids. My wife and I have been married for 17 years, and you know, my youngest is five now, and we're sort of at the point that it's like, right, that we, despite that, we're, in fact, we're busier than ever between you know, family events and kids activities and everything else. I felt like it was a calling to start looking and figuring out how what it was to get into politics. And as I'm reviewing and I'm looking at what the Republican Party and how they've done in this district, they've gotten spanked every single time that they've ran. Mm-hmm. The incumbent ran unopposed in 16 and 18. And when she ran and won her elections in 20 and 22, you know, she's won by a margin of 30 points, basically, in both of those contests. You know, as I'm talking with folks and I'm realizing that they don't feel that the things that she's saying on the campaign trail are being represented in Harrisburg, you know, and that was sort of caused the beginning of the string to start pulling, understanding, well, what does that mean? And as I'm realizing that this is a person that is voting in lockstep with the Democratic caucus. And as I'm hearing conservative Democrat voters at the polling places, now they don't know me from Adam, right? They just see me as another guy just standing there. And I hear them saying, why aren't you representing our party? Our party is leaving us behind. Why are you not voting? And she just sort of brushes them off in the conversation. And it is very clear that there are still strong conservative values, despite the fact that it's still a registered Democrat majority. There are strong conservative values that exist in this district. I am a Christian man. I am a man of integrity. I am a person that I think that can bring those conservative values to Harrisburg.
Great, great. So that's what got you off the couch and decided that you said, hey, I'm the guy that needs to run.
That's right. And a little more meat on that bone. I looked at the data in January during the petition period. And that's whenever I'm like, oh, I don't feel like starting my career and just getting smacked. But I started, we start every day with my kids in Bible study and prayer. And just felt a strong call to go back out and look at the data. Again, I'm a data guy. My MBA is in quantitative analytics. I'm pouring through the information. And that's whenever I realized that this is actually a fairly conservative district, but there's not, just candidly, hasn't been any good options for these folks. And not only could we win, and I'll take a one vote win in the contest, but the way that what we're seeing, and my analysis has been, is that this isn't just a you can win by 10 percentage points or five or one. Like, you could, this could be a blowout if you can address and you can meet the voters where they are. You know, you run a campaign that's conservative values, but on legislative priorities, it's largely moderate, which is what I'm running on. And I feel like we have a very, very strong chance to claim a significant victory for the House in November.
Well, there's a lot of things that have changed from, you know, 2016, 2018, and today, okay? Some of them primarily are, one, that here we are, And, you know, I wasn't the chairman back in 2016 or 2018 where they weren't fielding a candidate. So we know that we need to compete wherever we possibly can. So we've stepped up and we've put candidates forward. But, you know, HRCC, the House Republican Campaign Committee, they have an effective means of winning these elections. And it all revolves around door knocking, you know. And I think that's one of the things that if you ask me today and you said, Sam, what can I do to enhance my chances of winning? I would tell you the number one thing you can do is to ensure that you knock on 10,000 doors. And you said your goal for this election in November is to have taken and been able to shake everyone in the every voter's hand, you know, in the 45th district. You know, so it seems like we're in sync there, but that's what's required. And then the other thing is, I think in previous elections, the incumbent was in the minority. So she was able to say that the reason X didn't get done may have been, well, Republicans were in charge. Well, now Democrats are in charge.
Right.
And the world is falling apart.
Yep.
Okay. They worked the least amount of time. You know, they have, was 50 years or something like that, Sean?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but with all the breaks that they took there, so they're the least accomplished. And some of the votes that they are taking are absolutely insane, you know? So it's just the situation today is far different than it was previously. You know, when we have polls that are showing us from national and state perspective that 70% plus people, they don't believe that this country's heading in the right direction. When you have 60% of Pennsylvanians that say they're living paycheck to paycheck, you know, now it's not just about the candidates and the method of voter contact that you're using at the polls. It's that people out there are hurting. You know, I just saw something last night that says the average American family spends $12,000 more per year for the same goods and services they bought back in 2020. You know, they're looking for change. So, you know, this is a tremendous opportunity, you know, for you. But, you know, again, I just caution that we need to be in sync and in tune and touch with the needs of the voters in that district. And every district is different, you know. So what else are you do you have planned? Or what else are you doing from a voter contact perspective?
Yeah, so the from an outreach point of view, our goal is we're essentially developing. This is, again, I'm a data guy, right? So we're identifying, developing voter personas for all the different folks that could potentially exist inside of the district. And and that's going to come out probably to be somewhere around 12 personas. And these people will be able to essentially answer questions. They can go to the website, they'll be able to go to our social media page, and they can be able to interact with it and say, this is essentially the things that are important to me. These are the things. And they'll be able to understand then what the incumbent has done since she's taken office in 2016. So we'll be providing this to the community. It's largely an education, you know, campaign, saying the things that they've voted on, things they haven't voted on, the types of bills that they've been sponsoring. And, you know, and in general, there's an opportunity to make our the legislative body much more effective. As we stand, they Democrats have a one vote majority in the House. The kinds of bills being produced, a lot of them I would criticize as saying that they are administrative or sort of papering bills, where we're dedicating the month of April to, you know, Poetry Month in Pennsylvania. And not to take anything away from Poetry Month, but I think when you have real families that are absolutely hurting and they are paycheck to paycheck, there are things that, and by the way, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has the second highest paid legislative group in the country. These people need to be working. And that's the other thing, is a reminder, as I'm telling folks, is like, legislators serve at the pleasure of the people. It's not the other way around. Like, and if they're spending their time doing and passing these bills, that they're having recognition is important, but enacting true and meaningful change, that's what people are being paid for. They're being paid to represent the people. And I would say that it's been a failure of representation in this district.
Well, that's interesting. And those are some tough words there, you know, calling out the current representative. Now, how are you getting along with the other candidates in that office? I mean, State Senator Devlin Robinson, you know, have you connected with the senator?
I have.
He's up for election this year as well.
He is. Yeah. We established a decent rapport. There was an event down in Heidelberg. And we found out that for a year while we were growing up that we probably lived, you know, 5 or 6 houses away from each other.
Wow.
At one point. Yeah, you know, like he would have been, he's a year older than me. So 11, 12 year old kids riding around, you know, in Brookline. And it's like, we wouldn't have even known had it not come up in conversation. But aside from, you know, the past, whenever we were adolescents, I've had the opportunity to attend the law enforcement officer's memorial with him. We have a growing and establishing rapport. Rob Mercury and I, we flew to the Hill at the same time because I was down there for my own business for appropriations in Capitol Hill in D.C. And we established a rapport then, and we've maintained contact. And, everybody was sort of sitting, meaning rightfully so, hey, let's see you get through the primary and then we'll see what happens, right? Primary, not only did we make it, but like as we talked about, was very successful. Now that we're starting to gain traction as we continue to march forward.
Well, and listen, that's prudent. You take one step at a time. Folks, we're going to have to take a break to pay the bills. We'll be right back after the break. This is Sam DeMarco, the host of The Elephant in the Room on WJAS, 1320 AM, 99.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back with James Julius after the break. Folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room on WJAS, 1320 AM, 99.1 FM Talk. I'm here joined today in studio by James Julius. Last segment, we talked about why he was running, and you know, he was the gentleman that ran a write-in campaign in the 45th State Legislative District and got almost 900 votes. So he is now the Republican nominee for the 45th State Legislative District here in November. We talked about why he was running, a little bit about his background and things like that. What I'd like to ask him now, or what are the things that you're doing or focused on as you're out there in the community, you know, meeting people in your district? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've been intentionally spending time in some of the underserved communities, you know, meeting with whether it be fire or EMS or folks that are in community initiatives. So in particular, a lot of time in Stowe and McKees Rocks, listening in, hearing what their issues are, what are issues that are plaguing the community, families. In the case of McKees Rocks, I've had the chance to connect with folks of the Cure Violence group. And you know, they're doing incredible work, boots on the ground, of trying to intervene in situations that could elevate and become a particularly violent, you know, situation. There are so many different initiatives in that community trying to help and heal the people that are affected by violence. Met the other day with the firefighters down in Stowe Township. And you know, those groups are informing me of how busy they are. They're one of the busiest firehouses in the county, despite the fact being a volunteer firehouse. They have, you know, 40 volunteers that are there, and I'm hearing all the good that they're doing in the community. At the same time, I'm hearing the challenges that these guys are facing. You know, they are, it's like $4,000 about to be able to get a new jacket that the firemen have to wear in their fighting a fire. Mm-hmm. And they're having to sell like raffle tickets to be able to try to get new equipment. And they don't even sell enough tickets to be able to get this new equipment. And they are providing mutual aid, you know, up into Kennedy, down into McKees Rocks, because McKees Rocks doesn't have a firehouse anymore. So they're doing all of Stowe, all of McKees Rocks. And so these guys are very, very busy. And especially with all the flooding and stuff that we've had recently, they were deployed over into Oakdale as well whenever that community was hard hit. And so the point is that we have just an abundance of exceptionally committed individuals here. But the theme that I'm hearing over and over and over again is they just don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. They don't feel represented. And that's what I'm here to change.
Okay. So you talked about this is one method that you're using, or one area that you're focusing on.
Yes.
Are there others?
Yeah. And so as we get connected with folks in different communities, like one of the things we want to do is understand who are the leaders in these areas. Typical leaders could be whether it be school boards or commissioners or mayors. So we're talking about local governments and school governments. You're talking about superintendents, so the leaders of the school, police chiefs, fire chiefs, folks in first responders. We're going to be inviting all of them together, not mm-hmm. related to party affiliation, but related to the fact that all of these folks are stakeholders in the community. you know, as I mentioned to you, I'm a Republican. I have conservative values. But the things that I'm running on, the things that are important, anybody can go to my website and be able to see this. They're right down the middle. This doesn't strike anybody as partisan, you know, far right or whatever else. This is like, well, this is just common sense type of stuff. That's the big takeaway that I want people to sort of walk away with, is saying this is a return to common sense politics. Now, I'm educated and well articulated, and the point though is that if I'm also an anti-establishment guy. You know, and what I mean by that is the idea of maintaining career politicians who are going to go in there. And there's a lot of stuff that I just think need to go, like the fact that we have lifelong pensions for our elected officials at the state level, like, is just crazy to me. The fact that we have last year, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania made $12 billion on inheritance tax, like. That's wild. These people were at their absolute lowest of the low point. They're super vulnerable, and they're being taxed to death. This happened to my father-in-law. We had an incident where my uncle on his side, there was a tragic farm accident, and he had passed away unexpectedly a couple of years back. And you know, we almost lost the family farm because we had to find a way to be able to move money around and make the Commonwealth whole, so that we could be able to keep this in our family. Meanwhile, you know, it's traditionally a more of a libertarian view of you know, only tax things once, but I'm a proponent of that. Like, if you earn your money, yes, the government needs, and where we pay for things like community services and defense and all these things. And I think there's a meaningful way to contribute to those things. But once you've paid your piece, you shouldn't have to keep on getting taxed, right? Once you've paid your part to be a member of the community, that should be it. And the idea of taking money out of somebody's pocket at their most vulnerable time is insane to me. And so these are the things that I think are very common sense, very important. And as we are out in the community, we're talking to people, and we're getting to know people. Like I said, it's an education campaign as well. It's letting folks know what their current representatives and where they've stood. And we have some great Republican leadership in the area who do a very solid job in this area. You know, it in particular, out, you know, outside or around Allegheny County. But as we look into how to explain to people what the incumbent has stood for since she took office in 2016. And the sheer low volume of bills that has been sponsored or co-sponsored under her watch, this is an opportunity to drive real change for folks.
Well, it sounds like this is an opportunity for both you, but more importantly, for the constituents of that district. And, you know, you're absolutely right. When you are elected, you represent all of the people of the district, not just those folks who voted for you.
Right.
It's not RD. It's everybody there. So. I applaud you for trying to get everybody involved in these town halls, you know, because everyone has a stake, you know, in the future of the community. This is where they live. This is where they raise their children. So anything that they can do to ensure that, you know, that it's being governed properly and that, you know, basically that money is being brought back to the district.
Yep. And one of the big things I think has been challenging, at least in some of the discourse I've had with folks, is look at the climate of the world, the way that's kind of gone sideways since 2020. And we have just developed this partisan distrust for people across the aisle. But as I'm talking with people, these folks they've been Democrats since before, during, and slightly after the Kennedy administration. Like, and yet they are catching the ire of people who are Republican voters currently. And as I'm basically deliberately saying, look, I'm not just out here to get Republican votes. If I was only here to get Republican votes purely on a voter base alone, I would lose, right? Because we are in a D+8 district right now. You know, it is important to, I'm not doing this just to make a statement. I'm doing this to win because as in Mitch McConnell had said, you know, winners go to Washington, losers go home. And in this case, you know, the Washington in this argument is going to Harrisburg. We can't effectuate change if we can't get elected. So as part of our campaign, we're also reaching to these conservative Democrats that exist out there. And they exist. There is a big group of Democrats that they want the same change that conservative Republicans want. But sometimes get frustrated with the rhetoric that a lot of times that Republicans don't do a good job of broadening the rhetoric. One thing I've wrote a Facebook post on, I said Republicans need to be right. Democrats need to not be wrong. And and if we think about it, it is a lot easier to not be wrong than it is to be right.
Well, I'm glad you recognized a couple things there as a candidate. And oftentimes I'm talking to first-time candidates, don't get it. Okay, number one, we need Democrat votes as well. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people here in this area that are registered Democrat because, you know, that's the way their family had registered. Their parents had been brought up. Their grandparents had brought them.
Or the jobs might be.
Or their jobs might be with the city or the county or unions or whatever it may be, okay? So, but, and when we talk about, you have to be careful because when we're talking about Democrats, what we're really talking about are the ones that are doing the damage or the far left progressives. Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So we need to be conscious. And when we're talking about things, maybe refer to them as a far left.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to saying Democrats, because we, you know, we don't want to offend somebody who, you know, is basically a moderate or conservative voter.
Right.
You know, but by attacking, you know, the title there is being Democrats. Yeah, right. No, absolutely. Now, and we talked about in the first segment, you talked about your website.
Yes.
I want to give you another chance because you mentioned here earlier you wanted to send folks to your website if they wanted to check out your policy positions.
That's right.
To see that these are common sense. It's a common sense approach, not a far right or far left. Give your website again for these folks.
Sure thing. So it's Julius for State Rep. So Julius is J-U-L-I-U-S, like Julius Caesar. For, which is forstaterep.com.
Okay, folks, you heard it there, right? Julius for State Rep.
I'm on active on Facebook. Yep, yes, sir. I'm active on Facebook. I'm out on Facebook all the time, too. Like, unlike, you know, a lot of other candidates, they might have an intern or somebody else that's managing their Facebook. This is me, right? You know, right on my phone. You hit my campaign page, you make a comment, I'll talk to you directly. My phone number is listed on the which goes to my campaign line, it's listed on Facebook. I'll say it here as well. It's 412-981-2288. You call or text that goes right to me. And again, I have a campaign manager. We have interns. We have a great group of committed volunteers. You know, we have a growing list of folks. You know, I have about 7 people right now that are in the quote unquote inner circle, folks that are really involved on a day-to-day basis. That's growing every single day. But if you have a question and you want to know what somebody's position is on something, man, I've had all kinds of voters, they just pick up the phone like, hey, before I vote for you, before I do this, I just want to talk to you firsthand. Great. Do that. You know, I encourage anybody to be able to do that. You know, I want to, like I said, I'm going to be able to connect with anybody. This isn't me just saying it. Like this is a commitment. And I want to give everybody the opportunity to hear from me firsthand.
Well, I think that's important. And, you know, when you tie that in, you talked about these folks that want to have a phone conversation with you prior to voting for you. And then we talk about the need to go door to door because that's the most effective means of voter contact. I think you're seeing the tie in there.
Yes.
Right. And that's how you get folks to vote for you. And that's how you get folks to elect you. Now,
and that's what we've heard at the Lincoln Day dinner as well. I've had the chance to connect with both folks on the fundraising and advocacy and elected reps. And every single one of them said that this what's unique about being in a state house is it's the one elected official position that you can knock your way to victory.
Yes.
And that is 100% my intent.
Yeah, the typical state representative district has about 65,000 voters in it.
Right.
Now, even county council. You know, county council, the average district is 96,000 voters.
Wow.
So it's 50% larger than a state house district. So you're absolutely right. It is one that you can knock your way to victory if you do it properly. Now, so James, in the first segment, you very articulately explained the reasons behind your running for office and what you wanted to accomplish here. I got to ask you, though, you know, what the heck did your family think when you told them this is what you want to do?
Yeah, my wife now is all in. She, you know, she's excited. She's had the opportunity to, you know, hear the speeches I've put together and pay attention to Facebook. When we were first dating, and she sort of knew that this was coming, even though I was in technology. She's like, I know one day you're gonna get into politics. She's like, but can you please just delay it as long as possible? that was sort of the sentiment, right? Is just please just put it off. Even the folks that I've hired along the way who are now, you know, I spend probably more time with my direct reports than I do my family in a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. These folks were all like, okay, we know you're going to get into politics at some point, you know, and now that they've had the chance to, you know, hear what I'm about, why am I doing it? Understanding that despite anything, you know, you have to have your priorities right. setting aside time for God as the number one priority has to be it. Your spouse has to be number two. Your kids have to be number three. And if that order gets screwed up at all, it doesn't matter. And so you can't make politics the number one thing, right? There's other, but beyond that, you know, we have a lot of flexibility. My business is going quite well, right? And so I can be able to, and I have a great leadership team there. I have the ability to step back and trust those guys to be able to keep things moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes down to the folks realizing that I'm not doing this just because, you know, it sounds like a good time to do it. I'm doing this in response to a calling. And every single time, the very first speech that I gave, I went to Kennedy's Republican committee. And John, you'd set that up right at the beginning, because I didn't even realize to sort of get connected with folks. I had this vision of this is how to get onto a write-in. Uh-huh. And I had met with them, and right before I walked in, I sat down, got into prayer. I was like, look, if I'm not supposed to be doing this, make it clear. Make it clear by somebody asking a question that's going to throw me off, make it clear to me so that I just don't waste my time, other people's time. And the crescendo is building from people. Not only is it making, there's nothing in the way, but there is more and more people getting behind me every single time after I speak. And it's not a matter of arrogance or pride, God help me, but it is a matter of people are truly interested in what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and how I'm going about doing it. And as a result, the impact and the emphasis from the family is very positive.
Fantastic. Now, so we talked about, you know, some of the strategies and how you're connecting with the community. You talked about the underserved areas. We talked about what you're doing to connect with the individual voters. You talked about the door knocking and community events that you're attending. Okay. What is your position and what are you trying to do in your campaign in regard to mail-in ballots? Because I believe early voting is a critical piece of this. I've been beating the drum for 4 years. We cannot allow the left to use the 50 days of early voting to get their vote out and relegate ourselves to only 13 hours on election day. It's not a recipe for success.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, the if you even look back to the two prior campaigns, the candidates, and again, I can't speak with eloquence to how they went about doing their campaigns, but on the at the polling place data, they fared quite well in compared to the incumbent. But in particular, last time in 2022, the challenger got blown out because of the mail-in ballots. We already know that this is going to be an issue, and so which is why we're starting the campaigning now. So you left off at the very top of the first segment saying, you know, usually we can sort of take our break, go through summer, and we don't have to worry about it till Labor Day. That's why we're starting now. That's why we're in the community. So there's mm-hmm. there's a community day in McKees Rocks this Saturday on the 18th. Collier is reinstituting and going to make their community day bigger than ever, right? And so it's being present at these places, making them recognize. And I don't want to be this sort of in-your-face politician, right? Every single time it's just like, ugh, it's election season, right? It's like the way I look at politics is the way I think most people would look at this is the way they look at electricity. They want it to be in the background. They don't want it to be a part of their everyday lives. The number of people who are truly engaged on a day-to-day, in a political scheme of things, is an exceptionally small number of people. And great, I will be engaged and I can get very, very deep in conversation with them. But the rest of them, are just they want to trust that somebody is actually going to have their interests at hand, that they can be able to know that this person is going to work for them. And that's the trust that I want to be able to build with folks. My background's interesting, Sam, as far as like you know, I might be a guy who's educated, articulate, and this guy can't see me because I'm on radio, but I'm in my suit and hair is combed and all this other kind of stuff. But, you know, the background that I've had, my mom had me at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't grow up with a lot of money. I've had the chance to grow up both in a private Christian school as well as a public school, go through education, have a strong marriage, all the other kids, and it's like... But I've had the chance to see life from so many different perspectives. So I'll be 40 this fall. So I'm a young guy for anybody listening. And I've had the chance to see life from a lot of different perspectives. And it's those perspectives that allow me to connect with folks. One of the guys that I had the chance to connect with from the Cure Violence folks, shout out to Corey Sidbury, he's doing awesome work down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and I are only about four or five months apart in age. And if we sort of look at the point that we were born, we were only, you know, born, you know, at the same time. I'm like, okay, our lives were very similar until a certain point. And at that point, both of our lives took a fork in the road. His fork in the road led him to be in prison for 15 years. My fork in the road led me to get, you know, 3 degrees and run the business. Now, the incredible work that he's doing, he's a committed father, committed husband, trying to do incredible work in that community. All the other stuff, the accolades, the stuff that's in my past, stuff that's in his past, it doesn't matter, because what are we doing right now? Right now, we want to be boots on the ground in the communities. And like I said, I don't live in the rocks. I don't understand the troubles these folks are going through on a daily basis. It's like, but I can help equip the people who are. I can help be able to make their lives easier, better, get them the resources, the things that they need. I want to be helping to be an asset in that community to be able to bring a community center down there, because they need help. They need things for these kids to do after school, because they don't have anything to do and they're getting themselves in trouble afterwards. You know, instead of playing with basketballs, they're playing with handguns and poor kids are dying down there. And so, you know, what I want to do is, and I'm not going to try to act like I'm going to be living in that community all the time, because I'm not, right? I have my business, I have my family and my friends. But my point is, I want to go to Harrisburg and I want to fight for these folks and say, the things that you guys need, the things that are in your way, there could be legislative people in the way, there could be money, there could be people. I want to be the guy that's going to clear the way. You know, there is Jack Welch had a saying. So in case you guys don't know, Jack Welch, famous CEO of GE.
Right.
And so Jack Welch is saying his job as a CEO is to be the chief broomer, right? And which almost sounds like boomer in, you know, today's kids nomenclature, but chief broomer. And so the idea of a chief broomer was to get stuff out of the way for everybody else. Like, I wanted to let everybody else be able to do their jobs well and get everything out of the way so that they can be able to do their job well. And I do the same thing. You're asking me before, but what do I do at my business as Vizimo? That's what I try to do. Try to get the stuff out of the way to allow the incredible people to do great work. I want to do the same thing as a legislator.
Well, that sounds like you could be very effective there, again, based upon the skill sets and what you're saying here. And one of the things that differentiates you, James, from many of the other first-time candidates that I meet, is the depth of understanding that you have in regards to your district, the needs, the things of that nature, and then also what it takes to put on an effective campaign. You know, many times I talk to folks and they're interested in running, but they really don't understand what's going to be required of them. So what brought you to that point? How did you get there with this understanding, or, you know, at least knowing how to begin?
Yeah, great question. I'm the type of person, if I don't know something, I will research it to death to be able to try to find the answer. That there was a lot of time spending time on the PA Department of State's webpage, you know, looking at accounts from people that ran in the past, trying to just do a lot of initial outreach. And as I'm building this thing, I'm realizing that there's not a wealth of information that exists for people that do it as like, how to run for office, self-serve, like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the state does an okay job, but there's a lot of things I'm still learning. Having to do my first campaign finance filing, and it's like, so that's great. I'm gonna figure that one out first time too. And so it's a lot of, you have to realize, what do you know, what don't you know? The older I get, I'm realizing I feel like I know less now than I've ever known before. And I think that's an aspect of the cases where you need to be able to learn more, where can you be able to go and find information, and then validating that information, right? And so even in this process, I got the chance to get connected with you, got the chance to get connected with John, as a result, talking to other committees. That's helping to put pressure on my own understanding. It's also helping to refine, you know, the path that I want to be able to move forward.
Well, that's great. Folks, you have had the opportunity for this show to listen to James Julius, candidate for State House in the 45th Legislative District. James, I have 60 seconds for you here. If you had 60 seconds, take and use it to speak to our listeners and tell them something about yourself that you would want them to know if they didn't get a chance to talk to you again before November.
Yeah, so my goal is I'm the same person here on the radio that I am in person. Whether that be speaking in front of a group of 500 or speaking rather in a group of five. I effort to be a person of integrity, and I want to be able to bring that to Harrisburg. I'm not a person that can be bought by different special interests or other types of things. I'm a person that everything that I have, I've had the opportunity to use the gifts that God has given me. And I want to be able to use those gifts to be able to serve you all in the 45th District in Harrisburg.
Folks, you heard it from James Julius there. As always, when we get started talking, time seems to fly. Until next week, this is Sam DeMarco, host of The Elephant in the Room. Have a great weekend.